O God, our Father, creator of us all, we praise you that in your grace and mercy, it has always been your desire and purpose to draw people back to yourself, and that you have made known yourself in Jesus Christ. We remember what the prophet Simeon saw that day in the temple courts when he held the baby in his arms. My eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us this afternoon and prepare us to hear and celebrate this news afresh. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see the truth that is revealed in Christ Jesus. Move our hearts to rejoice and our wills to respond to your love made known in his life and death. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us listen now to the loving purposes of God as they are revealed in the Holy Scriptures of Old and New Testament. And let us ponder these things in our hearts, as Mary did.
The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known."
The ministry of John the Baptist prophesied. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, 'In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, "Cry." And I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young."
The birth of Jesus Christ. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus.
The angels announced the birth. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told.
Prophetic words about the baby. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem.
Mum and Dad and their two little girls are off to visit Grandpa for Christmas. The kids are full of Christmas energy. School's over, they're running riot everywhere at full volume. That is until Dad gives them an iPad to play with to quieten them down. Grandpa, on the other hand, is withdrawn and sad. We learn that this is the first Christmas without Grandma, and Grandpa misses her. Children often notice adults' sadness. This is no exception. And so after Christmas lunch, the children have a special present for Grandpa. It's the iPad. Grandpa smiles with some confusion, and duh, you've got to press the on switch. And he presses the on button. The screen shows an old video of Grandma waving. Grandpa waves back. Then he clicks on, and the next picture is the Christmas family photo from that very morning with Grandma's face photoshopped in. And as Grandpa sees this, he laughs. And the tension that had been built up through the video is gone. Happiness is restored. Christmas joy bubbles over once again. If you haven't seen it, that is the Apple Christmas video for 2019. Great news for you and for me. Apple have solved the problem of Christmas sadness, and they've come up with a solution for death. Buy an iPad. Except it doesn't really work, does it? It doesn't really work. We enjoy the video, we're willing to suspend disbelief for a moment, but the truth is that children's laughter and those fond memories of loved ones, they don't really chase away the darkness. Shiny new gadgets, even ones made by that particular company, cannot defeat death. And so each year we try hard, we try and have that perfect Christmas, but it remains elusive, something we cannot achieve. And people around us say, well, cheer up, enjoy Christmas, it's Christmas time. But the thing is, family strife and sickness, job anxiety, financial trouble, those things don't go away each December, do they? If we're honest, sometimes it feels like they work overtime precisely at Christmas. We write cards and sign our names underneath, peace on earth and goodwill to all. And then, despite our best intentions, we end up arguing with the family members. We stress over finding the perfect present. We get short-tempered. Or we just try and forget the pain that comes with knowing that this will be another Christmas alone, without presents, without a guest. Now, I know some of us are going to have an absolutely brilliant Christmas. Everything's planned and it's all going to work out. But what's the point of all the presents and the parties and the decorations if life is still dark for the rest of the year? And each Christmas brings us closer to that final Christmas, like in that Apple video. For others of us, Christmas is a time of distraction and numbing the pain. We wrap up warm and head to the Christmas market, enjoy some overpriced mulled wine, roasted almonds maybe, but it's just distraction. For others of us, like the grandpa, Christmas opens up old wounds and fresh wounds alike. I wonder which is worse, sitting alone when you know everyone else in the flat next door is partying, or sitting at table with other people, making small talk, but inwardly wishing you could be somewhere else. Well, the Bible doesn't close its eyes to our sadness. It doesn't put rose-tinted spectacles on life. Listen to what Luke, in his account of Jesus, says about us. Jesus will give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. He will guide our feet into the way of peace. So behind all the presents and all the parties and all the Christmas cheer, the Bible says that we're in a dark valley with the long shadow of death stretched out over us, without light, without hope, I guess wondering what went wrong. And some of our darkness, it comes from other people. Some of our darkness, if we're honest, comes from us, homemade, home-brewed, as it were. Ultimately, all darkness in this world comes from belonging to a world that has rejected God and his light. We've wanted to play centre stage. We've wanted to let our light shine. And that's left us in the darkness. And it's precisely this type of world and this type of sadness and darkness that Jesus Christ came into a little over 2,000 years ago. Born in a dirty room, surrounded by stressed parents and smelly animals, God himself entered our darkness. Our Creator, born to sit under death's shadow with us. That's what we celebrate this Christmas. And you see from that, this means, in case you'd ever been mistaken on this, Jesus is not like Santa Claus, Father Christmas. Not only because Jesus is real, and sorry kids, Santa may or may not be, Jesus doesn't do a high-speed drive-by. He doesn't throw some presents at the few deserving goody-two-shoes before driving back off to his safe retreat, living in isolation. Jesus, heaven's light himself, comes all the way down to us to live with us. One carol, part of which we sung earlier, puts it like this: He came down to earth from heaven. He was little, weak and helpless, tears and smiles like us he knew, and he feeleth for our sadness, and he shareth in our gladness. So no matter how impressive or shiny your life or the life of the person sitting next to you may seem, the Bible lifts the veil. We're in darkness, oppressed by darkness, in love with the darkness, hiding in the darkness. And to us, suffering and sinning, hurting and hiding, Jesus comes down. Why? Not to shove our faces in it. Not to say, I told you so. Listen again to what Luke says. Listen this time to what he says about Jesus. Jesus will give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. He will guide our feet into the way of peace. In other words, Jesus doesn't come down as a taker, wanting to suck you and me dry to fill his own cosmic emptiness. All Jesus wants from us is the darkness that destroys us, the death that awaits us. You see, Jesus is fundamentally a giver. He will give light and life and peace. What wonderful news. I wonder if you noticed the challenge and the comfort in what Luke says. He will give light to those who sit in darkness. The challenge is this: if Jesus had to leave heaven to come and give us light, then you and I will never achieve that light on our own strength. Political activism, social change, education, all good things, but they won't achieve heaven's light on earth. They won't overcome the darkness in my heart or in this world. That's the challenge. But do you see that wonderful comfort that God himself gives to us? What you and I cannot earn, and what you and I cannot achieve, Jesus comes to us to give for free. He will give light to those who sit in darkness, and life and peace. How can he do that? Well, the only way he can give you and me light and life is if he takes the darkness that belongs to us. And that is what the Lord Jesus did, not at Christmas, but at Easter. As he died upon the cross, Jesus was taking both our darkness and the consequences that come from it, our death, so that you and I can have light and life and peace. Peace with ourselves and our conscience, peace with those around us, most importantly, most wonderfully, peace with God himself. The thing is, if you have Jesus, then no matter how desperate, how desolate life seems, you have God's light and God's life. Light that no shadow can swallow. Life beyond the grave that death cannot stop. A place, as we sung, in that heavenly country bright, where we will need no created light. And if you have Jesus, no matter what the headlines are, no matter what's going on in your life or in the world around you, you have peace. Peace with God himself. Peace that cannot shatter. And in all this, please know, Jesus isn't offering us something distinct or different or separate from himself. Again, he is not Santa Claus throwing some stuff at us. He isn't interested in leaving us a couple of nice presents under the tree while we get on with life without him. No, for Jesus to give us light and life and peace, he means to give us himself. If you'd like to find out more about what that means, about who this Jesus is, who we celebrate at Christmas, who offers us himself, why not take this home with you, a booklet written by one of Jesus' friends, written by John the Apostle. What a great way to find out who Jesus is for yourself. in J.R.R. Tolkien's masterpiece, The Lord of the Rings, there comes a point where Frodo, one of the main characters if you haven't seen it, he's given up hope. The journey ahead seems too dangerous, there seems to be no chance of success, there will be no happy end, he feels. And as he sits down in despair and darkness, his friend Samwise Gamgee, really the hero of the book, points up to a star, a solitary star shining through a break in the clouds. Samwise says, "There is light and beauty up there that no shadow can touch." Well, Samwise got one thing wrong, namely that that light didn't stay up there. He came down to give us his light to be our light. 2,000 years ago, heaven's beauty and light came to earth, lived among us as a man, died under death's shadow, rose again, so that all who trust Jesus receive him as their light and their life and their peace forever. And so this Christmas, the Lord Jesus says to you and to me, will you receive him as your light?
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
True light and life in God's promised city. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honour of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever.